Welcome to the Plexibyte. My name is Lumi Digit, and I am joined by
Gunichi Saisaki, or Gliche, and this is our first episode, which is about computer OSs.
Today, we're going to be talking about the three main computer OSs, which are Linux, Mac, and Windows, which are the most commonly used OSs.
We're going to be talking mainly about the pros and cons of each OS, and then give a sort of brief discussion about our previous experiences with them and our personal preferences, and eventually come to an agreement over what we prefer as an operating system.
Yeah. So from experience, I know that you, Gliche Gurichi, you grew up with Windows mainly, but also used a lot of Mac throughout your childhood, and I hear that you didn't have the most positive of experiences, unlike myself. I personally didn't use computers very much till I was about 10 years old, but at that age I started with Mac, and I've loved Mac ever since. However, I have used Windows extensively in the last 4 years.
Yeah, I am. Throughout my childhood, our first computer that I used in the house was a Windows. So I used that. But then whenever I went to school, at computer class, we would use Mac computers. I just found Mac was a bit hard to work with at the time.
Yeah, it can be.
Linux, I find Linux is a very open source operating system. So you can literally find pretty much most all of them online, all the versions, and even the fan ones, which are pretty much official now, for free.
What I really like about Linux is how truly open source it is compared to other operating systems like Mac or Windows, which are really locked down for some reason. And I find that quite annoying, actually, with Mac or Windows sometimes. It's really locked down. You don't really have that much control over the way that it works or certain features in the OS, which can sometimes be quite annoying, actually.
Yeah, like, for example, in Windows, there's a lot of them. The antivirus system isn't very strict on the programs it allows to run. In fact, on my Windows computer, it had to pre-install some antivirus systems, even though it literally just became a nuisance. It got in the way of everything I did.
Certainly, yeah. I remember you showed me you had McAfee, and sorry, McAfee, if you're listening to this. Gurichi, you had that McAfee, and it was in certain file folders in the system files, which you couldn't really check, access, change, delete, or uninstall, even though you went into settings and manually uninstall, not really manually, but clicked the uninstall option, and that didn't delete it. And that's the good thing about Linux. I mean, tying it back to Linux, of course, because that's what we're talking about right now. If you don't want something in it, you just take it out. Yeah. You want to add something, get some code, you got it.
Yeah, it's like, because mainly in Mac and Windows, and some other operating system, which we're not going to be covering today, they sort of try and block out the connection to the main system files. Like, they try and say, oh, you're not allowed access to this through a bunch of code. However, in Linux, you're allowed to access those files and change them. Like, say you wanted to change the way the taskbar worked in Linux.
Yeah. And I find that what they often like to do is, they make it so that if you, for example, try to access those certain files, what happens is it will actually prevent you from being able to do that. It will say you need manufacturer's access or something like that.
Yeah. Anyway, moving on from that topic, Linux is also fairly user friendly. It's really user oriented, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, I have to agree with you on that one. It is very user oriented. I mean, if I wanted to, and me and my friend might, we could just take a version of Linux or get some source code and then edit it. And it would be just as easy as that to make our own version. And with our own version, what we could do, the possibilities are insane.
Yes. In fact, aren't we going to start trying to work on our own one?
We've started planning on making our own version of Linux, but of course that's going to take a few years and isn't going to be exactly in the short term, or we don't know how we're going to work on it. Me and Gurichi, we are very academic. We like learning and everything, and
So it's just, we're we we're trying to find out as much as we can about it. We're basing it mainly on operating systems from Linux like Manjaro and Fedora. So
which are our favorite versions? We quite like Manjaro Linux and Fedora. Fedora it's a lot like Mac. It's very intuitive, I find, and it's very well thought through. And Manjaro is good because Manjaro is the way they made it, and I mean, I just really need to give up the props to the creators. They are some geniuses. They made that operating system just, they did it well.
It's an entirely international team who made it, so there'd obviously be a large range of skills in certain areas to make it a really good operating system. Anyway, moving on again, there's some cons to Linux, because you always have to take the good with the bad. Sadly, Linux, even though it's free and open source, there's actually some versions that cost money. The developers have gone to their website that they posted on and say, you must donate, just pay this amount of money if you want to use it. And in fact, I've once found a Linux operating system where I forget the name right currently. But they
Elementary OS, I believe.
Yes, Elementary. They said if you want to use certain features of this operating system, you have to pay money and some.
But I mean, I have to say they did it do it pretty good. I mean, they did say you can pay only $1 and then get it, or you can pay $200 and get it, which I find is good because it doesn't give you a set amount. It lets you be more free and choose the way you and how much you want to pay. And I mean, Linux, it's extremely user-friendly, it can be used by anyone, it's open source, it's just a fabulous operating system, and the guy who created it first, he was just one of those people that has changed the world so much, and most people don't even notice. I mean, what, around 98% of servers and computers, mainly servers, on this planet use Linux and not any other operating system, even though there are versions that they could use, for example Windows Server or other versions. And yeah, but that's the good thing about Linux, they can just make their own.
Yes, and even though Linux is so good, there's also the fact that it can be difficult to operate for someone who has little to no computer experience whatsoever. Like, there are people, like maybe you listening to this podcast, who are having issues trying to run a simple Windows computer. Like, just because you don't know a certain command key, or you just simply have no experience in computers whatsoever. While Linux can be difficult for some people, because you need a certain amount of computer experience to be able to utilize it properly and to its full potential.
Yeah, I agree. And I know that it's really good about Linux. It's advanced on a level, and it can be really advanced, and that is good for experts who want those advanced and specific options to do very specific things.
Mm.
And I mean, I can tell you that through to what you do sometimes with certain aspects of computers, and you make them complex, and you use those complex features of the computer to do more than one could ordinarily do with Mac or could do with Windows. And yeah, but that's good, but it can also be bad for some people that don't know how to use computers properly. And the way that I found and learned how to use computers, being a young boy and growing to who I am now, I just found the best way to learn how to use computers is just experience. People just mucking around and doing random things, because you can't break a computer. You can't really break it, because if you don't really know what you're doing, if you do something wrong, you can just go to someone who knows and just ask them, and they can most likely fix anything that you've possibly done wrong. So the best way to learn is just to muck around. Wouldn't you agree, Cliché?
Yes, definitely. I've had many, many fun times messing around with my Windows computer. And advanced Linux, in conclusion, it is advanced, and that can be good. And advanced is good for loads of people, but it can be bad for people who don't really have much experience, which is, and they just want to do simple things, like, say they want to, like, Skype someone. You could just use a simple computer to do that.
And, I mean, not talking about computers themselves in this podcast, I mean, when we come to Apple, which is in a mo, we're not going to be talking about the hardware, and yeah.
Mac can be very intuitive, and it's user-friendly, similar to Linux. That is one of the things that me, and especially you, Lumi, have found when using it.
Certainly, certainly. I'm a big Mac fan, and I really prefer Mac over Windows, but I'm going to try and not be biased here. I find that Mac, it's really intuitive. I mean, the way that it is made, and you can just tell using Mac, that it was really thought through. It was really crash-tested, one could say. It was really made in a way that it was tested, and every little bug or inconvenience was worked out till it was no more, and just the good raw intuitiveness and user-friendliness of it was left.
Yeah, yes. And it's also got its many, many advanced features for advanced users. It's because it's complex. For example, it's got the different modes for people who own a Mac computer. I'm pretty sure it's noob, simple, and professional.
Of course. Yes. Just ad-libbing the name. But yeah, it's got certain ways. For example, if you start with a Mac, you can just use the top, like the tip of the iceberg, the easy part to use. And I'll just make a quick analogy here. It's like if you've got an iceberg and you're trying to whittle it down into, let's say, an apple. You could start with the top and just make something simple. You're above water and you can manage. And as you get lower, you learn and you get better. And then you get to the hard point, the cold part, which is difficult. And that is the advanced part, which is the underwater and the greater part. And then once you've gotten through that, you're an expert. And you finish your grand creation, which in this case would be the apple.
Yes. Thank you for that interesting analogy, Lumi. Anyway, another good thing about it is that its OS is actually free. So anyone can download a free copy of the Mac OS.
However, the twist with Apple, and they really are sneaky bastards. What they did is they made it so that you can buy an Apple computer, download the operating system as often as you want, but you don't own it. You just have the ability to, how can I say this? You don't own the operating system. Like, I'm using a Mac computer right now, and in the future I might upgrade to a Mac Mini 2012 edition with a better microphone so that you guys can listen to us with a better voice.
Yes, I'm sorry for my quietness. I'm just trying not to be too loud. I'm trying to get that perfect audio, but it's really hard.
And as with my voice, it's not necessarily the nicest on the audio things of sides. But yeah, Mac, it's complicated sometimes, just the way it works, but in general, it's easy to use, it's intuitive, and it has many of those advanced features that professionals like to use, and yeah.
And even though the certified hardware is expensive, there's also the idea of Hackintoshes, which are technically illegal to buy and sell, but you can make one by yourself. Like, so
Apple doesn't really, in their user license agreement, when you get Apple, it says you're not allowed to use this on any uncertified software. I don't know exactly, I haven't got it in front of me, sadly. If I could, I would, of course, read it so that you guys have the details. But they won't come and chase you down if you make a Hackintosh. For the simplicity's sake, to not get into any legal issues or troubles, we're not going to say whether you should make a Hackintosh or not. However, I can just say this. Hackintoshes do have some advantages over certified Mac hardware since they're cheaper to make and they can sometimes have better specs and all. But getting out of that range, for those people who don't really know the nooks and crannies of Mac, it's okay as well. They can use it fine. It doesn't really matter.
Yeah, and it's also very virus resistant. As back in the day when most of the viruses were made, they actually not many people had a Mac. So, and people found it easier to make viruses via a Windows. So that's why today there's not many viruses for Mac.
And not necessarily only that, cliche. Yeah. Adding on to what you said, of course, in the philosophical way of building each other's ideas, the reason that there aren't that many viruses for Mac is just the way that it works. There are viruses for Mac, but the sheer number of more viruses for Windows is due to a number of reasons.
Yes, it's for example, for Windows, there's all sorts of little bugs and little cracks in the system that the viruses like to get in through. For example, the web browser for Windows isn't that well made. Internet Explorer. They try and glorify themselves with all these special information, like, oh, look at this, look at that, we can do this, when you could pretty much find that on literally any internet browser you find.
Yeah.
And it doesn't have much it doesn't have much virus protection, and it's just overall very...
I mean, Windows 10 itself, when you get it does have Windows Defender, which is the inbuilt Defender, but I found even with that, I did actually get 2 viruses, sadly, but I wiped them out, of course. I got better.
Okay, then, so yeah, there are loads of viruses for it. In fact, with the Windows Defender, I find most viruses have found a way to adapt to pretend not to be a virus when Windows Defender tries and looks over them, and then sort of render Windows Defender useless. Like... Mm-hmm. I got the virus, the malicious virus, Cash Kitten.
Which was very annoying, which you randomly found one day. And yeah, I mean, not hampering down on Windows like it's the worst software ever or anything, but giving Windows a little leeway. I'm going to just give some things that I think are actually quite good about Windows, and which I actually really enjoy and wish that Mac itself actually had. Like, for example, the fact that Windows is used by many people is good, because it means that the application, the games and whatnot that you like are likely to be on Windows unless they were made by Apple. And, yeah.
Yes, and it's also fairly simple, so pretty much anybody can use it.
Yeah.
Which makes it very easy for people like... Say, for example, grandparents can use it much easier. Not trying to be rude or anything to the elderly. I'm sorry if I'm being offensive, but sometimes the elderly have trouble using computers. Please don't be offended. But sometimes they do actually have trouble using computers, and they might need a bit help, or they might just need a simpler...
However, in those cases, Windows has found one solution, which I think isn't quite that good. But it does work. I mean, Windows comes out, and you can either get Windows Home or Windows Professional, the other versions, which may not be out yet. For example, for us in the year 2017, specifically, what year are we in? September, are we?
September's not a year, it's a month.
A month, yeah. So we're in the month September here, and we have the versions of Windows, which is Home and Professional, and many others
and
for
work.
Windows 10 and
work.
And
school.
And school, yeah, and all those. And yeah, they work, but that just means that if you get the simple version, you have the simple version forever. If you have the professional version, you have that forever. Which Mac has, which is all in one.
Yes, and it's also, the newer versions of it run very swiftly when they come out. Honestly, the newer versions run much swifter when they're out, whereas for some other operating systems, it can actually take a while before the new update is actually fully up and running, which can be very, very nice if you want to be able to use the newest, the quickest. Anyway, it's very, sadly, it's for Windows, it's very, very expensive to buy initially.
Yeah. For example, I know that one version of Windows, I can't quite remember which one specifically, but I know that one version of Windows costs upwards of $200, and I think that's Windows 10 Home, which I have on my other laptop, and I found that quite expensive for just the OS, and not even counting the computer itself. So if you build your own PC, you're going to spend around $400 on parts and whatnot. And then you're also going to spend another, let's say, $200, and that brings you to $600.
And that's just the bare minimum.
Which is just the bare minimum, and that would get you by with not the best of computers.
And it's also, Windows can be very clunky, and it's very, very virus susceptible, and it has a lot of bloatware on it, which is very sad, I find. But at least it's good for gaming, and it's got that wide range of compatibilities and capabilities.
Yeah.
As Lumi mentioned.
So to bring this to a close, of course, because we can't go rambling on forever. So to bring this to an end and get into the part where we choose which OS is the best in the end of the world.
Yes, I'm voting for Linux, just so you all know.
I have to stick up with cliche here. I suggest Linux is just the best. I mean, even though Windows and Mac have their respective special little places in my heart, I believe that Linux is just the best because it's made by the people for the people.
Yes, exactly. Exactly that. So yes, I guess that's it. Thank you all for listening to the Plexibyte, and we hope you'll join us again for the next episode.
What will we be talking about in the next episode? I remember that my first article I wrote was about Linux Manjaro. Of course, to tie that in with this, I made it so that it's our first episode. But of course, I can't show you how to set up a Linux Manjaro VM just via audio. That would be very difficult. So we chose to do computer OS's, and I believe that our next article will be about the one and only. Our next podcast, the article's already finished, will be about future warfare, gravity bombs, and that kind of good stuff. And then...
Yeah. And it'll also tie in with Article 3.
Article 3. From the website,
which is coming out around, hopefully, as soon as the... Right after the podcast comes out.
Which should be very soon. So I think around September it should be coming out.
Yes.
Mm. And that article, just quickly tying this in is at the end, editor's note... You wrote that article, of course. This is when I got you to start writing for me.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. So that article will be about the political system, the governmental system, and...
And extra or sort of things like more on weapons and other interesting things.
And hopefully our podcasting abilities will be better by then and we'll not be using just the standard Mac microphone in some dingy old echoey room.
Yes.
We'll have a more professional microphone, of course, with microphone booth and all that. And yeah.
Yeah. Well... Anyway, guys, I guess we'll see you on the digital side.